Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into another episode of The Nate Darling Show. Thank you for joining us and being part of the festivities. And thank you to those of you who've been supporting us through hitting that Shop Amazon tab at the top of NateDarlingShow.com or that Shop Target tab at the top of the page. Help support the show. Doesn't cost you anything extra. And we do appreciate you doing that. Get the plug out of the way right off the top. How's that?
Bam.
Jason and Kareem here as always, or as usual. Not always, but usually.
Usually.
Coming up on the show today, fake nun, real drugs. We find out a little something that we weren't necessarily sure about Tucker Carlson. And Representative Devin Nunes has a problem with straws.
No.
Well, not straws per se, but
the libtards that...
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing that has him all bent out of shape.
He just has a problem.
He has a lot of problems. You know, allegedly being a compromised Russian asset and, you know, allegedly. A lot of things like that. Yeah. Allegedly. I threw that in there.
Yeah.
Appropriate use of allegedly.
Yeah.
It's been asserted at times that he may, in fact, be slightly under the influence, potentially, of people. He did leap out of an Uber to jump a fence at the White House to bring information to Donald Trump at one point.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's the act of a reasonable man, right?
Well, and somebody that's reporting back to their, you know,
dear leader.
Yeah.
So weird. So very weird. So much going on. We have breaking news as we record this on Monday night. MMA star Conor McGregor has been arrested in Miami Beach. Yeah, he was arrested after getting into an altercation with a fan. According to the arrest form, McGregor and the victim were leaving the Fontainebleau Miami Beach when a fan tried to take a picture of him with his cell phone. That happened Monday morning. The form states the fighter slapped the phone out of the fan's hand, which caused it to fall to the ground. He then, you know, and that if that was where the end of it was, you might go, okay. He then stomped the phone several times while it was on the ground, then walked away with the fan's phone. So he stole it. And depending on the phone, if it's worth more than $1,000, that's grand theft. Dumbass. They later located him at his home on Venetian Drive. He faces charges of criminal mischief and strong arm robbery. It's a great mugshot, too. According to police, he was transported to the correctional center where he has since bonded out. His attorneys released the following statement. Last evening, Conor McGregor was involved in a minor altercation involving a cell phone that resulted in a call to law enforcement. Mr. McGregor appreciates the response of law enforcement and pledges his full cooperation. End quote. That's not the first time he's been behind bars. Of course, in April of 2018, he was arrested in New York after he attacked a bus that had rival fighters on board. That caused two athletes to sustain injuries and three fights to be pulled from UFC 223.
He's an idiot.
He's kind of a hothead. Now imagine someone who chokes people out for a living is kind of a hothead.
Get out. I can't believe it.
Now martial arts, it's peace and serenity and tranquility. Mixed martial arts is kick your ass.
Yeah, then that's why it's mixed.
Mm-hmm. Is he entering John Bones Jones territory with all of this now?
Well, Bones has only snorted cocaine.
He only hurts himself.
Who
am I? Oh, am I thinking of Rampage? Was Rampage?
Rampage was one of those kids.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, Bones only hurts himself. He smokes cocaine and does, he had a DUI. That's it.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No worries. Go on, Jason.
Somebody posted something with Kimbo Slice in it. Remember Kimbo?
But Kimbo was a backyard brawler.
Well, no, but it was one of those things where, I was like, oh my God, that's so old. You know, like it was like,
yeah.
Yeah, that was.
And I don't know if you saw the thing he did during the first time he got arrested when he attacked the bus with the ladder and shit.
Yeah, he threw a hand cart into the window of a bus.
Yeah, that's yeah.
That's not normal.
He thought he was in the WWE.
Well, even there, it would be staged so that no one was in danger of getting cut by flying glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Speaking of WWE, the Fastlane pay-per-view was Sunday night. Not a bad show. Actually pretty good.
Oh, yeah?
Pretty good stuff. Most of the matches were quite entertaining. Got some high marks. The last one before WrestleMania, which is the big show of the year, of course. And
yeah, brother.
Yep, that's coming up in 27 days.
Wow.
So 4 weeks to WrestleMania. It's a big, exciting time.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's been dead for quite a while. Also on Sunday, we sprang ahead. Daylight saving time.
Yeah, it sucks ass.
Well, there was the whole measure on the ballot last November, which passed, which would basically just gives the legislature the go ahead to introduce a bill to stop California from participating in daylight saving time. So now they have to, the legislators have to get head from ass and get that done.
Please do.
Meanwhile, Monday was a hashtag National Napping Day. Because most Americans lost an hour of sleep. The clocks were set ahead, except in Arizona and Hawaii. By the way, it's always been kind of confusing as to why we have daylight savings time. It's like, oh, it's the farmers. According to USA Today, it was, in 1918 as a way to conserve coal.
Fucking coal.
Right? And it takes about 5 to 7 days for your body to adjust to that change of pace. It's not as quickly as, oh, the next day I'm feeling better. So, they chose that Monday after daylight savings to be National Nap Day because Americans are more nap ready than usual after losing that hour of sleep. People who don't regularly get enough sleep are usually the most affected by the lost hour. Well, no shit. That's according to the Mayo Clinic's co-director of the Center for Sleep Medicine. Really? You're at the Mayo Clinic and you felt the need to tell us that? Okay. It's great. Some advocate that napping could help. Short naps, 10 to 30 minutes in the afternoon, can be a great way to recharge. That's also according to a psychiatrist and sleep specialist at the Mayo Clinic, Arizona.
And yeah, they don't tell you, though, that it takes like 10 to 20 minutes to fall asleep into that 30 minutes. So to make it seem like it's just 30 minutes, you can suck a dick.
Somebody didn't get their nap today, Kareem.
It sounds like it.
Well, Jason has small children, so that's the other thing I've been seeing on Facebook a lot is people cursing it out that have children.
I don't curse it out because I'm an adult and I've lived with it for 40 fucking years of my life. So get the fuck over it. It's been part of my life every single year for 42 years. Like, really, like, I'm tired of people, like, get over it. It's a fucking day. Like, hey, if they change it, then they fucking change it. Awesome. Like, but oh my fucking God.
Hey, I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning because of the change.
I was still up at 3 o'clock this morning. I had nothing to do with the change. listen to last Wednesday's show if you want to know why. So we'll see if California joins Arizona. Get the block a moving down the West Coast. Eventually it's going to go away, I would think. It was also nice you guys got here for the show tonight and it's still light out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's like one of my favorite parts is like the fact that when I leave work, it's no longer dark outside.
Right. That's the worst thing in the fall, too, because you do the fall back. It's like, I got that extra hour. You didn't. You just got the hour back that you lost in the spring. But then you walk out of work that Monday morning and it's pitch black.
Yeah.
So, anywho, before we get into the rest of the show, any big announcements, Kareem?
Next week I will be wrapping up the photography part of my project. I'm going to Ohio tomorrow.
Oh,
to take pictures of Vince Morris. Comedian Vince Morris and his daughter for her father-daughter dance. I'm going to do an interview with him. And then I'll be back in Sac. And then I got like two other people in Sacramento that I'm doing pictures of. And then I have a six-panel or a roundtable discussion with six fathers next week that I'm going to video, and then we'll be wrapping up. We'll be picking pictures, and then we'll be putting everything into production.
That's how many people have you talked to?
I don't know. It hasn't been as many pictures as I've taken.
Right. You're gonna have probably a couple dozen photos for every person you talk to.
Yeah.
And then your video.
Yeah. So I actually didn't video as many people as I took pictures of, because a lot of people didn't want to do the.
Sure.
Yeah. You can get black men to talk about anything but themselves. Unless you get them to brag about,
unless they're a wide receiver.
Yeah. So you can get them to brag about sports, women, anything else. But then when you ask about themselves and their feelings and fatherhood and that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah. Feelings.
It's kind of like, oh yeah, no, I don't want to talk about that.
Jason, any big announcements?
I fucking hate everybody.
You really need that nap.
Oh man,
you really do.
Yeah,
I do have a big announcement. This is one we've sort of been teasing for a little bit, and it's not happening immediately because things take time. But I will be going into business for myself.
Congratulations!
Thank you. Entrepreneuring it up. The name of the company is Darling New Media. And we will be producing new media, but the focus is going to be on podcasts, and we will have podcast studios available for rent in Sacramento. We have a site right now that we're ready to sign a lease on. The problem is the building is not ready for occupancy quite yet.
Ooh, inspectors, get on that shit.
So, we're looking at right now, a soft opening sometime in May and a grand opening for right around the 1st of June. So, that will be a space that will be available. If you are a podcaster in Sacramento or would like to be a podcaster in Sacramento, there will be plans. Think of it like a gym membership for podcasts. So there's going to be various tiers of things, depending on whether you're an individual and you just want the basic things where you come in and sit down with your buddies and do your show, or whether you are a business and you want to come in and do some podcasts that are really more marketing tools, where I would be helping you put together the content and how everything sort of flows. And so the level of service goes up, and sort of like if you join a gym and you get the one where, oh yeah, you have unlimited classes. You can come in as often as you get your unlimited classes. That's going to be more than the, hey, you can come in and lift weights. So we'll have the whole range of things.
A menu, if you will.
A menu, and we will also have a small photo studio area where we can do video as well. So we'll be available for people. Let's say you have an Etsy shop or something like that, and you want to get some high quality photos of your stuff to put out on your social media. That is a place where you can do that. Bring your wares in. We can get them photographed. We can do little videos and put that all together. And, new media is really, well, it's new and it's media. But reaching people where they are is really the place where marketing is. And the old model of I'm going to buy a commercial on television or radio and it's going to play and people are going to hear it or see it, and then they're going to come to my business, is starting to become less and less effective. And it was.
Yeah. How do you know anything about this, Nate?
I've been producing audio and video for 20 plus years.
Oh, okay.
So, plus this podcast, I've been a podcaster since 2011. Worked in radio straight out of college for 7 years, so I'm familiar with radio. I put in 20 years in local affiliate television in both commercial production and news marketing, so pretty familiar with all that. And in fact, that's kind of what that business model is gone to. If you're somebody who's dealing with a local TV station, they're probably going to be pitching you not only on buying airtime from them, but in getting them to place your digital ads.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, hey, we'll do this and we'll place your digital ads too. It's like, but that's not your business. So that's not really what their business is. That's their side hustle. as they're moving forward. And not everybody needs that. Not everybody wants that. If you're a big advertiser, yes, doing TV may make perfect sense for you. If you are a smaller advertiser, it may not make any sense at all. Because if I'm watching the news, I may have zero interest in the product that you're advertising ever.
Yeah.
Because it's this huge shotgun approach. With digital marketing, you can target the people that you really want to talk to. Whether you're doing Google AdWords, whether you're doing sponsored Facebook, things like that. There's a whole variety of ways that you can get people to see your message and have that conversation with them, open up that dialogue with them. And it's along the lines of if you're searching for something online and then suddenly you notice in your Facebook feed, you're starting to see, yeah, that's why.
Yeah. So I've done ads. I did an ad for the exhibition on Facebook.
Right.
That way. And I think I reached 13,000 was the target audience. And let me see, I ran it for like a day and a half and I got like 800 responses.
Right.
So.
Yeah. If you do your targeting well for a relatively small sum of money, you can reach those people. And if you're running a business, you may not know anything about how to do that. And you may not even want to deal with it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, okay, I'd love to have a meme or something about my business or a series of them I can put out there. But do I have time to do it? Do I have the expertise to do it? Do I want to hire somebody in-house to do it? And the answer to all those things is probably no. That's what we'll be handling as well. So it's more than just podcasting. It's going to be that as well. But the primary core part of our business is podcasting, because podcasting is new media. New media is anything that's delivered over the internet.
Yeah.
And we will have, the audio podcast like this. One of the things that's going to change as we go into the new space is this show is going to become also a video podcast, because we will have video podcasting available.
Oh, dope.
So this show will be, and we'll figure out where we're going to be putting it, but it'll either be on YouTube or it'll be on Facebook. With video. So, leaning toward maybe Facebook, but I have to sort of dig into, because Facebook can be a little, territorial about content.
Yeah.
When you're putting things on Facebook. So, we'll figure one of those two things out. So you'd be able to watch us do the show live, or if we do it on YouTube, it'll live there and you can just watch it whenever. That's one of the things I like a little bit more about that. It's a little bit more searchable. Whereas Facebook, you can have the live interaction, but that's not how most people absorb podcasts.
Yeah.
You're listening to the show. This show comes out on Wednesday. And you're probably not going to listen to it until Thursday, Friday, maybe even next week sometime.
Yeah, who knows?
So there's all of that. So, and it depends on how you want to do it. And some people, if you've got a business and you're doing a podcast about your business and you're talking about key components of what you do and what you offer, you may not ever want to put that out as a live stream. You may want to take that and have it embedded on your website so that when people come to your website, that's where they can see that information. So there's a whole raft. I could talk about it for hours because, well, it's what I will be doing. As everything has moved forward, it's time to do something a little bit different, with my life and my career and everything like that. So And it's all, you know, personally funded. So, hey, come support local business as I help you grow your local business, because, this is not some big donor setup thing. This is not some quote unquote Silicon Valley setup. This is me and my wife, and primarily me.
Yeah, Nate bet on himself.
Exactly.
Make sure you come out and support that.
Yeah. Don't let me go snake eyes on it. And the great thing about this is, and as you start a business, there are so many questions that you have to answer. And one of them is, so how many employees are you going to have? It's like, it depends on how busy I am.
Unfortunately, nobody likes that answer.
Nobody likes that answer, but that's actually the answer. That's the
they want a hard number, though. They want you to say one or two.
Yeah, I got a hard number for you. They everybody wants that answer. And if I'm opening up, a taqueria, I know I need this many cooks and this many wait staff for this many hours. So I know how many people I need. This is going to really, really depend on demand. And it's one of those things that we are hopefully going to be bringing people into as we move, you know, as we move forward, we can get up to and get, you know, be covering our expenses relatively quickly. Because that's the big key. It's like, okay, we've got operating capital for a certain amount of time. And then we've got some more that we could access, but you want to get to the point pretty early on where you're able to go through your month and know, okay, I've got more coming in than I need to have going out. So that's what we're looking to do. And so the, hopefully our hard launch date will be sometime right around the Sacramento Podcast Festival, which is really weird because there was absolutely no coordination between that and us at all. In fact, I haven't talked to them yet as we're recording this. I will be having that conversation.
You will be.
I will be. So big things coming. So it's going to change this show a little bit. We're going to be, instead of recording in our house here, we're going to be recording at the Darling New Media Studios in the heart of Midtown Sacramento.
And you'll be getting a, you'll be kicking the two of us off. You'll be getting a young black woman and a gay white male, similar to myself.
Well, I did start with a gay white male and a Jewish former cop.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, this show's had a variety of different folks of, from experiences, and, you know, going on and going forward. In fact, I saw Diana this weekend and she's doing pretty well, up from Southern California. She was, hosting.
Oh.
At, Punchline.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, she was hosting at Punchline this weekend.
Yeah, I told her, wish I'd known she was going to be there. That would have made at least one of the shows.
Well, if you followed Diana Hong Comedian on Facebook, you'd have known. That's how I knew.
Nice. It doesn't come up in the feed anymore. Like,
oh, have you blocked her?
No.
Yeah. See, I don't remember seeing it either, and I know that I followed it. But
yeah, I saw it. I saw a few weeks ago that it was happening. And
thanks for letting your friends.
Well, I just figured you didn't like her.
Well, I mean,
No. And then I think I've seen her girlfriend stuff more on Instagram than I have hers.
That would make sense, kind of what she's doing. But yeah, there's all that. She was just in Indiana doing comedy too.
Yeah, it's weird. She kind of dropped off the feed. But then again, a lot of people have. It's Facebook and their fucking algorithms.
That's the real rub. And that's why, as we're looking at where do we put the show.
And it's almost seems like the more people you get, the rougher they make it for you to be seen. Like they want you to pay to be seen. Yeah.
They do want you to pay to be seen. And the other part of it is if you don't get a bunch of interactions right off the bat, then you don't get seen by as many people. That's really the key to Facebook's algorithm, and they keep changing it. It's a moving target. But if you put up a post and it immediately gets 20 or 30 likes and 5 or 6 shares and a bunch of comments, it's going to show up way more often than if you put it up and nobody sees it.
Yeah.
So with something like that, it has to do a lot with what time you post it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're posting it at a time when people are on Facebook, so if I
12:15 in the afternoon,
if I post something on Facebook at 11:30 at night, it's going to sit there for 8 hours before anybody really sees it. And it's not going to get the same feedback as something that I might drop in at, say, 10:15 in the morning when people are doing that mid morning break.
Yeah.
And it depends on where your audience is, too. If you're talking about, I want to talk to people across the country, now you've got time change to factor into it. So there's just a freaking lot. There's just a freaking lot. And it can be pretty overwhelming for people. So that's one of the things that we'll help with. for a fee. All right. So we've gotten through all of that. Now let's talk about our old friend, Senator Devin Nunes.
Come down for moose soup after.
Oh, yeah. He went out to a restaurant and then tweeted, "At restaurant tonight, waitress asks if we want straws. She says she has to ask now in fear of the straw police. Welcome to socialism in California."
Devin dumbass.
The straw police. So basically he quoted Hillbilly Waitress in Bakersfield or wherever he might have been. Because I'm guessing he left out a lot of the conversation.
Like, yeah, and not only that, like, first of all, if you're a man and you're using a straw to drink anything and you're at a restaurant, you're not really a man.
There are people who have gotten very upset about the straw law in California.
I don't get it, man. I don't use, like, I don't know. I don't use straws very often.
Well, it became a habit. When you go out, they give you a straw. And, okay.
Yeah.
And now we've broken away from that. Now for fast food, that law does not apply.
Right.
It's not like you get your, it's not like you go through the drive through at McDonald's and they go, "Hey, do you need a straw?" No, you still get a straw.
Yeah. I guess that's because that's the only place that I eat and I use a straw is because I'm in my car.
Right.
I've never had a problem. What? With it getting a straw?
He's like,
get the fuck out of here, you assholes.
So he took quite a bit of a skewering on Twitter out of it. Ken Tremendous tweeted, "LOL, how triggered hashtag liberals get when I show them my straw collection. I love straws because they help me, a 45-year-old congressman named Devin Nunes, to drink chocolate milk and lemonades. Give up my straws just for Earth. Nice try, socialists. Devin plus straws forever." Mark Jacob tweeted, "Devin Nunes makes a hell of a point about the straw police. They can just suck it. Same for the asbestos police of the 70s, the Alaskan oil spill police of the 80s, and the wash your hands before performing surgery police of the 1800s. yeah, also, you know, not really any idea what socialism really means. So the thing is, Devin Nunes continued to tweet about the straws the next day. He wasn't done with it. He took a photo of a plastic straw laying in his garden next to a plant. "Found this plastic straw in my garden today. Anyone have the number for hashtag straw police? Socialists? How about you just pick up the fucking straw out of your garden?"
And has he not been recalled yet?
Not yet.
And how do you, like, how is a straw have anything to do with soul? Like, because you can't have, like, nobody's saying you can't go out and buy straws, man. Well, like, there hasn't been a.
And here's the other thing. If the waitress says, "Would you like a straw?" and you say, "Yes, I would like a straw," they can give you a straw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you can ask for a straw if they don't offer you one.
Right.
So get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, hold on a second. They just don't want to needlessly waste them.
And you could also buy reusable straws.
Or you could drink out of a cup like a man and let it go. I'm just saying.
Like, why do you need a... Dude, you are a how old freaking man and you're using a straw. Like, what are you drinking? Like, unless it's a milkshake, dude, it's not really acceptable. And, like, I would say the only reason it's acceptable for women to use a straw is because they might be wearing lipstick. And if a man was wearing lipstick, I'd be fine with him using a straw. But really, those are the only reasons you should use a, like, or a milkshake. If you're having a milkshake, I'll drink your milkshake.
Yeah.
I'll drink your milkshake with a straw.
You'll drink somebody's milkshake?
Yeah, I'll drink your milkshake up.
Okay.
I have no issue with him.
That's from a movie.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have no issue with him wanting a straw. My issue is with him making a federal case out of the waitress asking if he wanted a straw.
Yeah, like what the fuck?
And I guarantee what happened was the restaurant where this woman worked, and I can only imagine what she looks like. I have a mental picture in my head along with a voice that the owner said, "Hey, there's a new law in California that we don't just out of habit hand out straws. So ask if the customer wants a straw. Don't just hand them a straw. Because it was announced that, yes, there will be spot checks here or there. So I guess that's the straw police. Here's the other rub on that, though. If you own a restaurant, how much money a year do you save by not just randomly handing out 6 straws to table?
That's the thing that gets me every time. How, like, you know that picture, that meme of, like, the boot on somebody's head, and then, like, it blows, like, goes back, and you see that it's somebody with their hand in the boot on their head, mm-hmm. so they're doing it to themselves. Like, the whole idea of the straw thing in the first place is, like, is that. Like, I'm getting upset about something, like, I don't know, man. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Okay, I urge you, if you have not seen this, go online and search for straw pulled from turtle's nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And watch them pull a straw out of a poor sea turtle's nose with pliers. Like, they had to clamp onto it with vice grips and give it a huge yank to get it out. And then say, is it really that big a deal if the waitress has to ask me if I want a straw? And if I really want a straw, I can have a straw. No one's saying you can't have a straw.
Not one person has said that.
And you know what I would like to do now? I would like to take that straw, and I would like to jam it up Devin Nunes's urethra.
Oh, I would like to. How about this? You do that, and I'll shove one up his nose.
I think you should have a straw catheter.
I think you should have one of those feeding tubes that goes down into, like, but it goes up through your nose.
Right from the urethra to the nose?
Yeah, like, it's like, imagine if a human centipede wasn't really like a centipede, but it was yourself.
I like that. Well, for Devin Nunes.
For Devin Nunes.
For Devin Nunes.
For Devin Nunes.
Yeah, take that, libs. He's owning the libs by leaving that straw laying in his garden.
All those libtards.
Yeah, hey, check it out, libs. I've got a bunch of plastic garbage in my garden.
Hey, you libtards. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It's true. All right, speaking of libtards, Tucker Carlson from Fox News, not a libtard.
I think secretly down deep he is. Well, and that's why he's such an asshole.
No, no.
No.
He's just a white asshole. That's it.
Now, he's on Fox News. He used to be on MSNBC. He used to wear a bow tie all the time.
Yeah, he was an asshole then, too.
Mm-hmm. An asshole with a bow tie. But between 2006 and 2011, he spent approximately an hour each week calling into the Bubba the Love Sponge radio program, where he spoke with the host about a variety of cultural and political topics in sometimes vulgar terms, which, whatever. Who cares? If you're unfamiliar with Bubba the Love Sponge, it was his wife that Hulk Hogan was fucking when he dropped the N-word in the tape that Gawker published that Hulk Hogan then sued them for, and then a billionaire joined in to support the lawsuit to drive Gawker out of business. Ha ha! Yes. Screw you, First Amendment. Anyway, back to Bubba the Love Sponge. During those conversations, Carlson diminished the actions of Warren Jeffs, then on the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitives list, for his involvement in arranging illegal marriages between adults and underage girls. He talked about sex in young girls and defended statutory rape. Tucker Carlson today was all like, well, they dug up all this stuff from the past and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, but you said it. And the only response is to be like, you know what? I was trying to be sensationalistic, and in retrospect, looking back, it was a bad idea, and I apologize.
But he can't say that.
No. But let's listen to what he said back then.
He's not in prison for that. Warren Jeffs didn't marry underage girls.
No, he's in prison for facilitation of child rape.
Whatever the hell that means.
That means
he's
that
in prison. He's in prison because he's weird and unpopular, and he has a different lifestyle that other people find creepy.
No, he's an accessory to the rape of children. That is a felony, and a serious one at that.
What do you mean an accessory? He's like got some weird religious cult where he thinks it's okay to, you know, marry underage girls, but he didn't do it. Why wouldn't the guy who actually did it, who had sex with an underage girl, he should be the one who's doing life? The rapist in this case has made a lifelong commitment to live and take care of the person. So it is a little different. I mean, let's just be honest about it. He's not accused of touching anybody. He is accused of facilitating a marriage between a 16-year-old girl
and a 27-year-old man. But that's the accusation. That's what they're calling felony rape.
I know,
rape.
But in our
state... That's bullshit. But I'm sorry. Now, this guy may be a total creep. Maybe it's not rape, but I'm just telling you that arranging a marriage between a 16-year-old and a 27-year-old is not the same as pulling a stranger off the street and raping her. That's bullshit.
But you know what, in my brief experience, you know what gets women going is arguing with them.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
He's a Christian.
Sure.
I mean, no, he's a Christian. In the Bible, it says that as long as you marry the woman you raped is not a sin.
Yeah. All right. So now we've gone past the attempted normalization of this felonious crime. Now let's go into what he says about women. Now,
and Jeps did way more than that. So
sure. Yeah. You know. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So Tucker Carlson. Now, these are hot takes on male hot talk radio that we have coming up here that aren't unique to Tucker Carlson. They're sensationalistic. They're stuff that guys might say. So the first part of the tape was really the part that made me go, you know what, dude? You're a bigger asshole than I thought and a problem. So let's move on.
Brent, I never use it.
It's true. You debate politics with a woman and just go, you know, just full blown out there, especially feminism. If you're talking to a feminist and she's giving you, you know, well, you know, men really need to be more sensitive and this. You know, actually, men don't need to be more sensitive. You just need to be quiet and kind of do what you're told.
And lighten up a little bit, bitch.
They love it.
Alexis Stewart, we run into her all the time.
She seems
cunt.
Awful.
Yeah,
they're,
she is
they're
awful.
They're very cunty.
She seems extremely.
I like to hear that word out of. Oh yeah, I stepped over me. She seems what? Now go ahead.
She just does seem a little cunty. Yeah, and you said it. I'm just agreeing with you. I don't use that word.
Right. I'd love for Tucker Carlson tonight on MSNBC. A girl that comes across kind of cunty.
Well, she does. I mean, I heard her. Now I'm a Brent fan, so okay, I'm stating my bias right out front here. But I heard her on with him, and I just wanted to give her the spanking she suggested.
I actually watched
when she's laying her head in your bed.
Okay, so,
alrighty,
not enlightened. Certainly, Jason is horrified by this.
What? Who was he talking about?
He was talking about Martha Stewart's daughter, Alexa Stewart. In that section. Now, again, this type of talk on Hot Talk Guy Talk Radio, not. I mean, yes, it's over toward the edge, but it wasn't incredibly off base from what you would hear at that time.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's okay. It's certainly not an enlightened viewpoint.
But that's what you would.
The whole point. Yeah. But the whole point was you had an audience that was 90% men that were like, yeah. And then they would go home and do whatever their wife told them because they understand the difference between, the reality of it. And what this weird facade that these guys are putting out there. So he continues.
At night, you know who the hell's in her bedroom and what they're doing. Nobody, just her. Well, when she's in a dormitory type setting and these little girls start experimenting around, next thing you know, you got a lesbian on your hands.
I don't think that's
likely. Next thing you know, Brent, what's going on in the Combe Dormitory? Nothing. I don't got a PSP to play. I ain't got nothing going on. I ain't got my mom and dad here to tell me that they love me and they tuck me in bed. So here's Trixie, and she wants to explore my body a little bit. So, hey, let's go crazy.
Wow.
That, if it weren't my daughter, that's one theory.
Well, I mean,
I just think that's pretty unlikely.
Can you tell them as outlandish as that is? How old is your daughter?
14. I love women, but they're
okay. So he pauses for a moment when Bubba the Love Sponge brings up girls exploring each other sexually, because at that point he has a 14-year-old daughter. Now this is Tucker Carlson with a 14-year-old daughter. Keep that in your mind when you listen to what he was saying.
They're extremely primitive. They're basic. They're not that hard to understand.
Putting Paris and Britney in a commercial with Obama is classic old school miscegenation, old South.
Uncle Tom.
It's old South. These two young white girls are going
to
be dating a black man.
So they're trying to say that he's coming for your pristine white daughter, but he's two of the biggest white whores in America. So
you want to fuck Sarah Palin.
There's that. I'll agree with that.
I feel sorry for unattractive women. I mean, there's nothing they did, you know?
What's better than hockey, weed and whores. I mean,
but you know, first of all, there's no Canadian woman that you'd want to pay to sleep with.
He clearly hasn't seen Canadian women.
Apparently not.
I mean, Pam Anderson.
Yeah,
was a Canadian woman. You know, just off the top of my head. Just saying, there were quite a few. Yeah. So Tucker Carlson, he was a dick then. He's a dick now. But again, I'm not going to be like, oh my stars, I'm going to faint because of what he was. He's on the Bubba Love Sponge show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, the crazy thing is that we have, like, we're having this conversation about a guy, like, and there's anybody that's up in arms about it, and we're having this conversation about a guy that is still on a TV show that sensationalizes stuff in the first place.
Like, yeah.
You know. But when we had a president, we have a president who used to call, like, weekly into the Howard Stern show, and go over all the shit that was going on, like...
Talk about how hot his daughter was.
I mean, like, on a, like, regularly. And, like, that... You want to talk about sensational like that? And yeah, it's just funny. Like, it's crazy how, like, that matter. Like,
so for me, the stuff where he's being kind of a misogynistic dick, I don't really care.
Yeah.
I don't really care.
Yeah.
The forum that he was in, the time it was, and everything that was going on with that, that doesn't surprise me at all. The stuff with Warren Jeffs and being like, well, yeah, but hey. Hey, he was only facilitating these marriages where the raping would happen.
I could see him, like, saying, there's a lot of stuff that I was saying that, like, fuck you, I was just saying it.
Yeah, I was being facetious.
But at the same, like, the Jeff stuff, I made a mistake there. Like,
yeah.
After I found out more, that was split-second decision right at one point with certain information.
Right, and why? More. What do you have to gain from defending that guy?
Why are you defending
at any
that
point?
Guy? At any point.
At any point. You didn't be like, oh, yeah, you know, that he seems okay.
This is states' rights. Listen, if you're in the state of Alabama, it's okay. 16-year-old, it's fine to marry, all right? And those are people. Those are people there, and it's okay. Hey, listen, if you're in India... Okay, you can. Your parents can say that you're marrying somebody else at any point, and you have to listen to them. All right, there's nothing wrong with that. It's been happening for thousands of years.
Right. Anywho, so remember that next time you see Tucker Carlson popping up. Just saying.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in Arizona, a woman dressed as a nun and carrying a Bible in her lap was arrested when a search of her car she was riding in with her husband turned up more than 8 pounds of fentanyl. That's a lot of fentanyl.
It is.
Esther Gomez de Aguilar, who's 53, and her spouse were pulled over on Monday afternoon while traveling on I-10 in Elroy. It's about 50 miles northwest of Tucson. Cops say the couple's vehicle was stopped due to an equipment violation and a moving violation. Now, upon contacting the passengers, the county sheriff's office noticed several suspicious circumstances that prompted them to search the vehicle. The deputy also frisked the couple, striking pay dirt with the lady. According to the police, her purse contained 4 bundles of suspected fentanyl pills, and she had 2 other bundles of fentanyl powder concealed under her clothing, a total of 8.5 pounds seized. Her outfit was all black and included a lace veil worn in her hair. With a Bible in her lap, cops contend that she sought to disguise herself as a trustworthy member of a religious order. Charged with possession of narcotics for sale and transportation of narcotics for sale, she and her husband are each being held in the county jail in lieu of $25,000 bond. They're from Yuma, and they are scheduled for a March 12th preliminary hearing.
Just $25,000?
Mm-hmm. Each. It's Arizona.
It's kind of low for that much fentanyl.
Yeah.
Well, you'd think, but
Yuma is like, I don't see anything good ever can happen. There's like El Centro, Yuma. There's a few places right there, like in between everywhere else you'd be. Between there and Phoenix, I guess, between San Diego and Phoenix, El Centro, Yuma are the two that I can think about, but those are just sad places. Like when you're going through Yuma, you go through this area where they have this gem mineral show, right? Isn't that where there's a,
yeah,
and like it's just like acres upon acres of nothing, but then like for like 3 days, like during the year, like it is full with people looking at gem. It's just a sad place.
Well, maybe you need fentanyl to get through it.
I wouldn't doubt. That's what I'm saying. It was probably personal use.
So, yeah, that's it's interesting. I mean, we'll see what happens with them, but that is a lot of fentanyl.
It's a lot of fentanyl.
It really, really is. All right, so
were they at the border?
Mm-mm. Nope, just moving violation.
Just moving. Oh, okay. There wasn't a wall.
They did have Hispanic last name, so.
Yeah, but they were residents of Yuma.
That's true.
If they were illegal aliens, it would have said that they were illegal aliens right at the beginning.
Smoking gun, not necessarily. Mm. They're more about where the person's from rather than illegal alien stuff. So that's a whole different publication.
Mm, yeah, true, true, true.
So we've mentioned before on the show that I do another podcast called The Morning Crunch Wrap, where spot a story that catches my eye, and that's what we talk about for that day. This is from The Morning Crunch Wrap from, I think, Friday. Billionaire diamond trader 65 dies during penis enlargement surgery that triggered a heart attack at a Paris clinic.
Yeah. Lose a couple of pounds, man. Lose a couple of pounds.
Well, you know, my whole thing with the Morning Crunch Wrap that day was be nicer to yourself because your dick is probably okay.
Yeah.
It's probably okay. A billionaire diamond trader has died during a penis enlargement operation at a posh Parisian clinic. The man died at the age of 65 in the clinic of an unnamed plastic surgeon in the French capital. According to local media, complications during surgery proved fatal for the Belgian-Israeli dual national, and he suffered a heart attack when the substance was injected into his penis. A statement on his company's website read, "Farewell to a visionary businessman. It is with great sadness that we confirm that our founder has passed away." Now, according to media reports, the man suffered from so-called Napoleon complex due to his short stature. An old friend of his who wished to remain anonymous said he was known as the Argentinian because he looked like a tango dancer. An old friend said the man was always focused on his appearance and how others perceived him. According to his friends, the only time he forgot about his short height was when he asked his accountant to read out his bank statement, something which he did multiple times a day.
He was a fucking diamond dealer. What do you think he was about?
Money. The funny thing, though, Kareem, he started out as a masseuse in Israel.
He probably had on one of those shiny gray suits. He probably had a bunch of bling, bunch of chains.
It wasn't like he just had like some average size. Like, he had to have had like a micro penis, right?
I don't know.
He had to have had something that was like thumb size.
No. That's not necessarily the case.
Why? It's like when you see women who think they're fat and they're not, they just are anorexic. They have body dysmorphia.
I mean, you said body,
thought, you know, he probably thought he should have like a 10-inch dick and he probably just had an average dick.
Yeah. That's probably it.
And, you know.
I mean, you and Leslie watch Botched. How many of those women actually need the shit that they do?
No, none of them. Almost none of them.
Almost none of them need the surgery.
One needs butt implants.
Yeah. The surgery that they end up going in for, it's like you were fine like you were.
Right. You were okay with those 36 C's that you had.
I just figure. I don't see how if you got millions of dollars and you got any woman you want, pretty much, like it says that he was hanging out with models and stuff like that. Like, why?
He owned one of the most expensive penthouses in Monaco, as well as a house in the plush LA suburb of Bel Air, where he loved to drink bottles of Chateau Margaux with models and celebrities. He didn't go to university and started off his career as a masseuse at a hotel in Tel Aviv. And, then he went international, went to Africa, and turned out he was very good at identifying diamonds and became one of the largest diamond brokers in the world. He was able to look at raw diamonds and pick them up for next to nothing and then sell them for kajillions of dollars.
Yeah.
Which didn't make his penis seem any bigger when he looked down.
Nope.
I'm glad that my dick's the size it is and I haven't had to worry about it. Like, it's never been a worry. You know what I mean? Like, that's never been my concern.
Well, but you're not as self-absorbed as that dude probably.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Your dick is probably fine.
Yeah.
Everybody, your dick is probably fine.
Yeah, man. I guess if there's any advice we can give out there to any man right now,
it's probably fine.
Now, if it's smaller than your thumb, you know, it's fine, and you'll find somebody that loves you for who you are.
So he went from being a masseuse to being he went from being broke to being a billionaire.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he never got over being broke.
Nope.
Yeah.
He never felt adequate.
Yeah.
From where he came from.
And he didn't have a degree either, right?
Yeah. No, so he never felt adequate from where he came from to where he was.
So he didn't have student loans.
Yeah.
It's taken me a good 15 years to really not be too self-conscious about the fact that I don't have a 4-year degree. That was really hard to get over. That was like, you know.
I've been to a lot of different things and heard a lot of people talk in a lot of forums of late. And the thing that I've heard mostly is I want to be seen.
Sure. There's a variety of ways to accomplish that without penis operation.
Yeah.
By the way, talk to some women about your penis. I mean, make sure that you're in a – don't just randomly talk to women about
it. Yeah, somebody that – wanted to see your penis and has seen your penis.
Yeah.
Or just say that.
Or a really close friend who will be honest with you about your penis.
I mean, I don't know if there's any friends that I would want to show my penis.
No, if you've got a really good lady friend. I mean, you know you'd show it to Alex.
I would not show my dick to Alex.
You've already shown your dick to Alex. What are you talking about?
I may have shown my dick to somebody. I might have shown a video to somebody.
Mm.
You're a white guy. You've shown your dick to plenty of people.
No. I'm not like Brian Krall.
To be fair, Brian is known for showing his balls to people.
Well, but running naked through things.
Well, sure. Sure. Yeah, whatever.
You get the flying dong that way.
Well, however it goes. All right. So in Wisconsin, a 17-year-old thought this was funny. He's accused of injecting cattle tranquilizer in his stepfather's energy drinks.
My fucking God.
He didn't think it would cause any harm. Now, investigators allege that Tyler Rabenhorst Malone, who's 17, adulterated his stepdad's drinks last year. The teen's cops say he used a sedative often administered to cows to giving birth. The victim, a dairy farmer, had stored the drug in the barn. Now, according to a criminal complaint, after he first spiked his stepfather's drink, the victim was left stumbling and suffered slurred speech, a droopy face, and heavy breathing. Doctors at a Madison hospital concluded the symptoms were result of stress, lack of sleep, and the victim's consumption of energy drinks. That sounds like every dairy farmer I know.
Yeah.
The odd symptoms returned months later, prompting the victim to conclude that Rabenhorst Malone was messing with him. As a result, the man no longer left his drinks unattended. In conjunction with his increased vigilance, the victim's symptoms disappeared. Now, the victim told police that he had discovered two syringes shoved in the corner of the barn, which he thought Rabenhorst Malone used to inject the tranquilizer. Suspecting his energy drinks had been tampered with, the victim subsequently provided samples of two beverages to the sheriff's office, and the crime labs revealed one of the drinks contained xylazine, which is used for the sedation of animals like horses and cattle. Used syringes provided by the victim also tested positive for the tranquilizer. And during police questioning, the 17-year-old reportedly confessed to spiking the drink, saying he thought it was funny. The teen added that he never intended to hurt his stepfather. He's been charged with placing foreign objects in edibles and recklessly endangering safety, both felonies, scheduled for a circuit court appearance March 18th. Now, according to the complaint, his mother told cops that her son was expelled from high school last March for hacking school emails. Wah, wah.
Sounds like a winner.
So, Kareem, that's your stepkid. He's drugging you with horse tranquilizers. What do you do?
Yeah, he got to go live with his daddy.
Jason?
You got to go home.
I never would have gotten that far with the mom.
You got to go home. You got to get the hell out of here.
I never would have gotten that far with the mom.
No?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care how good it was, how beautiful she was.
You won't raise another man's baby?
Well, it's not that I won't raise another man's baby, but not
that's
one that's
what you're saying.
That's Satan. Like that child, there's something wrong with them. And maybe he was a bad stepdad too. You know, maybe he was a horrible stepdad.
We never know. Well, here's the thing. As someone who grew up on a dairy farm, there's a lot of bullshit work that goes on. And if you don't want to be doing it, it sucks.
Yeah.
But here's the problem though. If you drug the old stepdad, he's going to get less of it done. And that means more of it's what you got to do. So not a lot of thinking going in there.
No.
Just saying. Oh my God. A dumb 17-year-old?
What?
I don't know.
No, but the hacking school emails though too. I mean, there's some behavior issues there.
Yep. All right. Well, we've got some news out of Missouri.
Ow, dirty son of a!
A Missouri woman was drunk and reenacting a movie when she fatally shot her boyfriend.
Oh, damn.
Kalisha Marie Peterson, who's 37, is facing a charge of second-degree murder in the slaying. She was arrested last Thursday after police in Fulton responded to Peterson's report that she accidentally shot her boyfriend, David Dalton, who's 36. Peterson advised that she and Dalton had been watching a movie and drinking alcoholic beverages. Peterson advised that at some point, Dalton suggested the two play out a scene in the movie that involved a firearm. She then advised cops that the two retrieved a handgun that they kept in the bedroom to act out the scene. A Taurus 38 caliber revolver held by the woman discharged, striking Dalton in the head. Medics attempted to treat Dalton and declared that he was dead. Even if the discharge was not willful, authorities said Peterson should be held responsible because she handled the weapon while admittedly intoxicated. Police also noted that she had a number of prescription medications, some which increase impairment when mixed with alcohol. NBC News affiliate KOMU of Columbia, Missouri reported the local district attorney has formally charged her with second-degree murder as well as unlawful use of a weapon. What movie could it have been? They're not releasing the movie because they're saying it could be evidence.
Get the fuck out of here.
Right?
Or they don't want somebody else to try it.
Well, that, I think that's really what it is.
I mean, the only movie like I can think of, it couldn't be Deer Hunter, right? I mean, because that would have been Russian Roulette.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not that, because they said she shot him, right?
Correct. I know what. We're drunk. Go get that gun. We can act this out.
Okay, well, hold on a second.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, I got it. Got the gun.
No, don't actually shoot me in the head.
Yeah, no, it's not loaded. I don't have a loaded gun.
No, wait.
Okay. All right. All right, now you're going to play. I'm gonna play the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy,
right.
And you're gonna play Thanos, and I'm gonna shoot you, and you're gonna pretend you're gonna make it turn into fake, and that's not real.
No. We're gonna. It's the Matrix.
Oh yeah.
And I'm gonna shoot you, but it's gonna be in slow motion. You just lean and move.
No, it'll be like that movie like Equilibrium, where they like can curve the bullets, like they can like it's like gung fu.
No, it's gonna be like that movie where Elmer Fudd tries to shoot him, but he puts his finger in the gun barrel and
it
backfires.
That's it. Let's try it. Let's do it.
That's pretty much what we got.
That's there. Exactly probably what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Glad we sorted that out.
Solved it.
Mm-hmm. Headline, snowed in rancher injured by cattle rescued by neighbor and tractor.
Wait, what?
Snowed in rancher injured by cattle rescued by neighbor in tractor.
It's a good neighbor.
It really is. A man injured Wednesday while working with cattle south of Broadview, this is up in Montana, was rescued by an area rancher with a tractor after snow-drifted roads prevented emergency vehicles from reaching him. The early afternoon rescue took place in an area off Buffalo Trail Road. That's according to Yellowstone County Sheriff Mike Linder. Details on the man's injuries were limited, but Linder believed the man was badly injured while working with cattle and may have been sent airborne by one of the animals. The man was injured enough that he couldn't get himself to help. Even then, it might have been difficult due to the winter conditions in that part of the county. In parts of Yellowstone County surrounding Billings, snow depth had been reported at between a foot and 17 inches. Now, closer to Broadview, it's possible there was even more snow on the ground than that. And it doesn't take that much snow for piling drifts to become a serious barrier. Enter the neighbor with a tractor, Justin Downs, a rancher from northwest of Billings who had answered the call for help before. He apparently has pulled people out of snowbanks and dug people out, according to the sheriff. From time to time, we run into these things where you can't get in because of weather conditions, and we rely on neighbors to help us out. Downs was contacted by a member of the fire department and picked up a medic from the ambulance before setting out across the snow-covered landscape to get to the injured man. It's just crazy. I mean, what are you going to do?
I'm not so impressed now as when I thought that it was just a guy that, like, found him. Now that I know that it was somebody that was sent out to him, I mean...
Well, that's what makes it small town news.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we can't get to him. Someone call Justin with the tractor. The road going down to the place is kind of a cliff off to one side of it, Linder said. Short of plowing it all out, which would have taken an extraordinary amount of time, the other option was just to take the tractor through the snow. So Downs set off from the road and began crossing cow pastures and fields. It's hard to estimate the distance, though, because it may have been a mile from the road to the ranch. The approximate distance using Google Maps showed the ranch to be 2 miles from the road.
Wow.
So after the tractor got there, the medic helped stabilize the man's injuries with a collar before loading him onto the tractor. All in all, the drive to the injured man and back took about 40 minutes. Downs then returned for the medic who had stayed on the ranch, saying he can't say it's the first time he's helped us get out of there. So, there you go. That's your small town news.
Bam.
That's what we got going on. So, some big announcements this week on the show. Very exciting stuff.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's one of those things that's sort of been in progress and will continue to be in progress. So hopefully late April, our podcast will migrate to the studios.
Bam.
We'll see. Right now, the building is not certified for occupancy. So
it will be, though.
It allegedly will be.
The fact that you're using the same thing that you use to describe Devin Nunes.
Oh, it's true. It's true.
Like, does not inspire, like...
Officials tell me. But the same officials told me it was going to be ready March 1st. But you've got an elevator in the building, so that always delays inspections, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot going into it. But once we have the official... the official occupancy setup, we will let everybody know exactly where it's going to be. It is in the heart of Midtown Sacramento, though.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic location.
Cool.
So very excited and very easy for people to access. And, yeah, not far from a soon-to-be-open 5,000-square-foot weed dispensary.
Oh, yeah.
Put some cookies in the window. You'll get plenty of traffic. Yeah.
We're on the second floor, though, which is kind of nice. So, in terms of not having homeless people wandering in.
That's true.
That's positive.
So, all that very exciting. So, finally able to talk about that now. So, hey, here we go. So. Help support local business, and yes. I'll do the same for you. All right, back on Friday with another new show. Oh, in the meantime, if you get stuck with cattle, make sure you have a neighbor with a tractor who can get you out of the snow. Oh, so we'll see you next time. The more I see, the less I know.
By a world so undecided, and there's nowhere to go.
Oh, dirty son of a...
Between the cover of another perfect wonder, where it's so white as snow. Running through the field where all my tracks will be concealed, and there's nowhere to go.
I'll see it. Till my load down, till my load down, I'm gonna be the bugger of another perfect one.
That was freaking crazy.